It's a comforting thing to be reminded that we belong to each other. We don't live this life alone. We have the support and strength and friendship of one another. If you know somebody who's not a part of an encouraging, loving, supportive congregation, by all means, invite them to be a part of one. Life's hard enough. Why do it alone? It's also a comfort and a strength to say as we go, God is in my life to save. The Lord, the mighty one, says Mary, the Lord is my Savior. That's what she sang when she realized that God had given her a great task to give birth to the Son of God, the Savior of the world. What does that mean to say God saves? How does God save? From what does God save you? When? Where? Why do we need to be saved in the first place? And what's all this saving got to do with the baby Jesus? Throughout the Bible, it's fair to say, salvation comes in different ways. It doesn't always look the same. Salvation is contextual. It's individualized, personalized. It depends on the circumstance. Salvation is not like those cookies we used to make. Remember the metal stamps? They're now plastic, I think, and you stamp angel, 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 or Christmas tree, Christmas tree, Christmas tree, and it's always the same until you decorate them. Salvation isn't like that. Salvation is particular for you and for you and for you, but all different. Salvation's unique to the person, unique to the time, unique to the trouble. First of all, let's be reminded that the name of Jesus itself means he saves. It's the very identity of Jesus. Jesus, as an adult, will be much like a physician. He looks at individuals with compassion and particularity and knows their name, knows their circumstance. In your case, leave your father and your net in the fishing boat and follow me, he says to one. In another, he says, touch my robe, be healed of your bleeding. To another, he says, sell all you have, give it to the poor, follow me. To another, he says, confess your sins to God. To another, he says, go show yourself to the priests. To another, he says, just be kind to one of your neighbors. To another, he says, don't be afraid, it is I. Not cookie-cutter salvation, but personalized, contextualized, situational redemption from fear, victory over sin and death. Our relationship with God is a personal relationship with God. I think that's the beauty of the Christian faith. What good news that the God of all knows us, has made us in God's very image, calls us by name, given us all of our particularities, our warts and weaknesses, our foibles. You are individually made and fully known by the loving God and all-powerful Savior. What the Mighty One does for Samson, give him strength by not getting a haircut, is not the same thing the Mighty One does for Joseph, who gets out of prison because he can interpret dreams. What God does for, say, Miriam, the sister of Moses, who does a tambourine song and dance after Egypt's army is defeated, is not what God does for Jonah, who is saved from drowning by a great fish. God works, and the Bible's full of the stories, in particular ways to save individual people in certain circumstances. So maybe the question of salvation isn't so much about starting with God's answer, but with our need, our question, our trouble and brokenness. When I was 4 years old, I needed a blanket so I could take my nap at my Lutheran preschool. When I was 19, you know what I needed. I needed money to put gas in the car. so I could hang with my friends. When I was on the verge of popping that question to a lovely young woman from Athens, Georgia, I needed a ring. You follow? When I was sick, I needed a doctor. The truth is, God's been saving me. How about you? All my life. It's the only reason I'm here. There but by the grace of God go I. And God has saved and provided and blessed and helped and given life and brought newness in all different kinds of ways, in all different places and circumstances. In many and in diverse ways does God enter in and extend that hand of life and help and hope. I don't know what tomorrow holds and what the needs will be. I can suspect. I remember when Heather and I left our oldest son, Jacob, crying in my father's arms for our first date, and the parents would take care of him. And he likes to shoot guns and blue rock and hunt and that kind of thing. So he went down to the basement, and he got his earmuffs, and he put them on his head, and he said, "Go ahead, I'll be fine," as Jacob screamed his head off. That's what we needed, wasn't it, Heather, a date from all of that screaming? And that's what Dad needed, peace. Don't hear a thing. It's what Jacob needed too. Grandparent time, valuable grandparent time. Even when my body fails, how about yours? When this life, when this physical being is stolen from us, there is a final victory we in faith claim. We call it resurrection. It means the death of the earthly body will give way to a resurrected body, which means, as Easter proclaims, there is always for us springtime and new life. Good Christian friends rejoice, the hymn says, with heart and soul and voice. Now you need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. I love that carol. What's God saving you from now? How is God saving you now? James Taylor, I know, after a drug addiction late in his career, said yoga was saving his life at one point. What's saving you now? Friendships? Clean water saving you. You may not think of it as a salvation blessing, but it is saving you, just like a dry home and a safe home and food and heat. We often don't think in those terms. The salvation, the life-giving blessings of God all around us. So many we take for granted. Is there a struggle you're facing? Is it legal? Is it relational? Is it physical? Maybe mental? Do you have some aging parents? Do you have some defiant children? Did you get a bad diagnosis? Credit problems? Stress and anxiety? They seem to be right at the top of where we live these days. Then pray to the God who saves. The God who restores, the God who enters in to give health and newness and life. I don't know if you get the AJC. I seem to be the only one in my neighborhood of 78 houses who does get a paper copy of the AJC. If nothing else, it helps wake me up in the morning when I hear that vehicle come down the street and hear the plop of paper in my driveway. There's only one plop in the whole neighborhood, but at any rate, if you don't get it, you didn't see the young woman lying face down, apparently dead in her front yard. She had collapsed from an opioid addiction. And the only thing that kept her from dying were the four policemen who responded and the Narcan they gave her. God saves. God saves in lots of ways, and in particular ways, and through people. Always giving life, always giving second chances, always desiring our health and our wholeness. Our ancestors in faith struggled, I think, mostly, they would say, with sin and guilt, trying to live holy lives before a righteous God and living in God's will. I think that's what our ancestors mostly struggled with. But today, I think what our peers struggle with is a more fundamental meaning, a more fundamental question, and that is, why am I even here? What is the purpose of life? We need to be saved from a lack of meaning. A lot of folks question the very existence of God as the world seems more confused and we live more isolated and fearful lives than ever. Because God is a saving God, we're never without hope. because God is a God who is seeking to bring newness and life and wholeness, we have a hope and a sense of peace that God is behind us and with us and before us. And we in the church need to be about saving lives too. If that's God's work, then in Jesus' name, that work continues in and through us. I think I read that the church now is 3 billion strong. I think that was in the National Geographic article I read. 3 billion strong, worldwide. God has placed missionaries throughout the world who are in the business of saving and rescuing and joining hands with Jesus to help mend broken lives that need love, that need acceptance, that need peace, that need forgiveness, that need purpose. Mary, the soon-to-be mother of Jesus, makes a speech. We call it the Magnificat because in Latin, that's the word, magnify. I magnify the Lord. I worship the Lord. I declare God's glory. But what Mary praises God for is a world of reversals. What God and Jesus is doing is reversing the status quo, the dominant world structure. Mary sees a lovely picture of God's faithfulness from generation to generation. Isn't that one of the most blessed gifts we can give our children, is faith and hope in God? Someone, I suspect, whether it was parent or grandparent or Sunday school teacher or neighbor or coach or friend, passed it on to you. What a blessed gift it is to pass it on to others. One of the most important things we do as a church isn't just here, but it's with these people. One friend in North Carolina says, when the offering plate is passed, I can tell you why I give. For the little girl sitting next to me, that's why I give. Because I want her to have gospel faith and song placed deep down inside her heart, because there will come a time when she needs its strength and its hope and its direction. God and Jesus acts to save the world. But look at what he's doing. Those who are blind are seeing. Those who are deaf are hearing. Those who are hungry are fed. God is in the business of saving and rescuing life and meeting human need. Mary sings in her great song that from grandparent to grandchild, God's blessing, God's faithfulness extends. I don't think there's anything you can give the gift of to children and to the next generations more than that gift of faith and hope and love and peace. Faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, more valuable than tickets or club memberships or anything you can get on Amazon. The most important thing that can be wrapped in under a tree is presence. The presence we have with one another, the presence of a loving God in our lives. Mary's faith praises this God who is her Savior and the world's Savior. I can think of no more timely message than Mary's. She says, God in Jesus Christ is acting to save. And that, friends, is still the hope not just of our lives, but of the world itself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.